AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson with you here on a Friday afternoon. Right now, we're joined by Jeffrey Krames. He's a leadership expert and has spent decades in business book publishing. He is the author of 9 leadership books, several of which were national and international bestsellers. And his most recent work is called The Joe Biden Way, How to Become a Bold and Empathetic Leader. In this book, Krames sets out 7 lessons in inspiring leadership that have helped President Biden carry his powerful message to the White House and deliver it to hundreds of millions of people. Jeffrey, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's an honor, Brett. Anything for a fellow Midwesterner.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, as you pointed out, I do write leadership books, and most of the leadership books I've written have been about people from the world of business, you know, people like the former CEO of GE, Jack Welch. But my last book in 2015 was a book about humility and Pope Francis. And from the campaign of 2020, I saw Joe Biden as a singular figure. I saw him as someone able to use and wield empathy, not only in a time when America certainly needed empathy from its leader during a global pandemic and racial strife and problems with the Republican Party in search of an identity. And I was inspired by Joe Biden. And the day before he took the oath of office on the 20th of January of this year, I woke up one morning and I said, this is your next book. This is going to be your next book. I have to do a book on Joe Biden because he's inspired me out of his selflessness, out of just a tragic life that he has lived, you know, with all of the terrible things he had to endure from losing his wife and daughter when in 1972 around Christmas. Losing his son to brain cancer. He just struck me as this wonderful old school figure with great newfangled ideas. And so I had to do it.
Well, one of the areas you talk about with Biden is the fact that he's a very empathetic person. And I want to dive into that a little bit more about how empathy can play a role in effective leadership, because especially when we think about politics, we oftentimes think we need a strong, effective leader or a real strong man, when really empathy can also be a way that you can show effective leadership. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, it's a wonderful point. You know, actually, even in the early going of the book, I point out an extensive study that was done that actually proved, in a way, that empathy could play an outsized role in determining a leader's success. And when others have asked me, you know, and have asked others who they see Biden compared to in history, many people say FDR, and what FDR accomplished was just, of course, immense importance to the world in many spheres, including the creation of the Social Security Act of 1935, which gave us our great social safety net in which Joe Biden is trying to enlarge. But back in the 1930s, when the economy was far, far worse than it is today, Joe Biden has just sort of has been the man for the right moment to tell everyone he feels their pain during this global pandemic, and here's what we're going to do to get out of it. And I mean, he's just acted. Leadership is about action, but when you're a president, it's about words, but chiefly it's about actions. So when he came into office, there had only been 50,000 shots administered. The vaccines were relatively new, of course, under the previous administration. But now, I think, you know, we're talking about a half a billion shots in arms now. He got 75% of people over 65 years of old vaccinated within just two and a half, three months. I mean, he's been a man of action when we really needed it. But what's been also so interesting, Brett, is that he doesn't really get a lot of credit for what he's done. And I'm not just talking about COVID. I'm talking about now if we could shift to his domestic agenda. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people are hurting, and he's trying in basically three bills, two of which now have been made into law. The third, which the Build Back Better plan that people talk about, has passed the House. And I think he's trying to get this entire domestic agenda passed in one fell swoop because he feels people's pain. And when I say people's, I mean people of lower and middle class, and particularly people of color. Because when things go bad, it's often people of color and the least fortunate amongst us who take it on the chin. And I think he's trying to level the playing field, and he understands that his time could be limited because of the midterm elections, where 70% of the time the controlling party loses one or both chambers of Congress. So he's trying to get everything done in three bills, and he's almost there. And yet people forgot about the first bill, which was $1.9 trillion. That was the COVID Relief Act, the jobs plan. Then there was the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, the biggest investment in infrastructure in the history of our country. And now it's this latest sort of the social infrastructure part of the bill, where he's trying to help people sort of dig out of the hole that COVID has put so many people in. So I just think he's the right man at the right time.
I want to expand on something you were saying, too. And by the way, backing up to what you said, how Biden oftentimes doesn't get enough credit. Yeah, I think that's about the understatement of the year, that's for sure. But to talk a little bit more about what Biden has been able to accomplish and still what he's trying to do when he does have unified Congress with Democrats in control of the House and the Senate. You talk a little bit in your book about how it's important to set a single priority and then focus on it with laser precision. And I know that's difficult to do in today's environment when everyone wants things to happen right now and right away. And that does definitely, I think, pose a challenge for a leader when things do move a little bit slower than people would like. But I think, as you write, it's important to keep that laser focus on a single priority.
Yeah, you know, he has maintained a remarkable focus. And, you know, part of the book calls on business thinkers and leaders and geniuses, people like Peter Drucker, who is the father of modern management. I think I was the last person to ever interview him in 2003. He died in 2005. So I do bring in other business leaders into it. And he has to maintain his focus because he has learned through experience. And Malcolm Gladwell, the author of Outliers, who I call upon, and another author who wrote a similar book, he has called upon his experience each and every time. And his experience tells him this. If he allows himself to ever lose the focus, whatever his strategy he sets out, that $1.2 trillion infrastructure package, he really wanted that passed and saw a way to do it on a bipartisan basis. Mitch McConnell voted for it, 69 senators. That's never happened. That didn't happen during the Trump administration. Didn't happen. Almost never happens, especially today. But he got it done. So he has to stay focused. And to some extent, it's a strength, and it's a great strength of his, because he just can't do everything. I mean, today I just saw on the news, actually early in the week, there was a school shooting. And, you know, I know he wants to get things done on guns, and he wants to get things done that'll on voting, because so much of our democracy seems to be sort of more in jeopardy than any other time in our lifetime. But he knows he can't get it all done because he's basically, while he controls, you know, the executive as the president and both chambers of Congress, he knows it's basically 50-50. I mean, it's exactly 50-50 in the Senate, with Vice President Harris breaking that tie. And it's almost 50-50% to each side in the House. They got a cushion of 3, 4, 5 people. You know, people like Lyndon Baines Johnson's who accomplished the Great Society, and FDR, they had amazing numbers of Democrats in the chambers of Congress. I mean, like 100-seat margin for FDR, I think, at one point. So, you know, Biden doesn't have that at all. So his degree of difficulty in trying to get anything passed, I mean, just anything, is immensely more difficult in the age where 70%+ of the opposing party, which we need, doesn't believe that Mr. Biden is the fairly elected president. I mean, nothing like that's ever happened in our lifetime. Not Nixon. Not. I mean, I don't know when you have to go back to in our country, Brett, to see the last time where truth, or actually lies, have been weaponized to this extent.
Yeah, you have to go back, I think, way back in time, probably into the 19th century when Andrew Jackson was elected, to find that sort of thing that we're seeing now, where, yeah, we're having disputed results of legitimate elections.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to the Civil War, right?
I mean,
but what's amazing is that no matter how disgraced the 45th president, Mr. Trump, has been with, you know, he was impeached twice, And yet people still follow him. I mean, he's in exile in Florida, but he just seems like he's in the wings, like a puppet master pulling the strings. And the Republican Party just seems to stand for nothing except obstruction and more of a white country. It is certainly the Democratic Party that does a much better job of at least trying to help people of color, you know, maintain their ability to vote and have a level playing field. It's not the other side. The other side usually gives the money to the top 5%. They make it harder to vote in country in states like in the South and the Rust Belt. I mean, it's incredible what's going on in the country. But yet, going back to our original discussion, Mr. Biden can't do it all. He has to choose. And basically during the 2020 campaign, as I state in the book, he had a conversation with Bernie Sanders and told Senator Sanders that he wanted to be the most progressive president since FDR. And that's been his goal. So he has sided with the progressives in the House, with the AOC, the squad, because that's where the numbers are. They have almost 100 members who are members of the Progressive Caucus. And that's where his heart is. He wants to be a transformational president, even though he said he wants to be a transitional one. I think he wants to be a transformational one. And he's close to it. I mean, if he gets this third bill passed, that's $5 trillion. I remember when $1 billion was a lot of money. But $5 trillion, that's 5 times 1,000 billion. I mean, it's just incredible. And people of color and people of our middle classes, our lower classes, are going to feel it the most. So I think what he's trying to do is of immense importance. And I don't think he's going to get sidetracked until he gets it done.
We're speaking with author Jeffrey Krames about his new book, How to Become a Bold and Empathetic Leader, talking about Joe Biden. Again, the title is The Joe Biden Way, How to Become a Bold and Empathetic Leader. And Jeffrey, final few questions for you. And what are you hoping people take away from reading this book, especially those who might be in positions of leadership, whether it's in business, politics, or even, you know, in their local government? What are you hoping people take away from reading this book?
Well, thank you for that question, Brett. I want people to understand Joe Biden. First of all, you know, he was, when he was 17, 18, 19, he and his family used to listen to FDR speeches on the radio. And he, of course, John F. Kennedy, was the only Catholic and the first Catholic president. Now we have Joe Biden. So I want people to understand his Catholic roots, his Catholic upbringing, about sort of what informed him and why he has set out to accomplish such immense things for people who can't do it for themselves. The second thing is, though, is step by step, I show people how he got each of these things done. And they used to sort of joke about this in the previous administration about, is he playing three-dimensional chess? Let me tell you something. Joe Biden knows how to play three-dimensional chess. For those who say he might have lost his step, he's not as smart as he was, I don't agree with that. Yes, he moves a little slower, but I don't believe his brain does. He reads everything, and that's in here too. So basically, if you want to know who Joe Biden is, what motivates him, and how he gets things done step by step in a very methodical manner, all the time giving confidence back to the institutions that were really in danger of being forever tarnished, our intelligence agencies, law enforcement, our medical teams in Washington, D.C. during a global pandemic. I mean, he has put the best people in the best jobs, the most diverse cabinet in the history of the country, more diverse than even Barack Obama's, and he's just accomplished great things. And I want people to see exactly how he did it. And this book is as up-to-date as anything you could read on him.
Again, the name of the book is The Joe Biden Way, How to Become a Bold and Empathetic Leader by Jeffrey Crames. You can order that, well, over at Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul or wherever books are sold. Jeffrey, been a fun conversation. Really appreciate your time today and hope folks can go out and check out the book.
Oh, thanks, Brett. You guys are the best. I love you, and I'm going to listen for you.
All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.